ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभिषां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं सुजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते मुकुन्द गोस्वामीति नामिने नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादे पाश्चात्य देशे तारिणे
So we'd like to express our deepest gratitude and thanks to His Holiness Rompath Swami and devotees here for inviting us and allowing us to make this presentation. Actually, it's by the mercy of Vaisheshika Prabhu that we are here. It's on His order that we are trying to fill in His big shoes. I hope we can make some impact and in our lives by making this presentation for our own purification, and like to share some thoughts about book distribution that we have learned from Vaisheshika Prabhu and our Guru Maharaj and all the devotees around the world. And
just wanted to, I guess, express our deepest appreciation for the fact that, just like Prabhu was mentioning, we actually started our Krishna consciousness right here in this, well, actually not in this room, back in the day, it was the other temple room, but just coming here and hearing from Maharaj for the entire Memorial Day used to be the highlight of our year, and used to look forward to it every single year. And so it is such a personal honor and such a privilege to be back here again, to be part of this gathering, which I think is so deeply spiritually nourishing. It has been for us, and I'm sure it is for you. So
I remember those years when the retreat was held in the old temple room, and there were only maybe 20, 30, 40 devotees, and so much time we could spend with Maharaj and ask all the stupid questions
I remember Lokadaksha Prabhu used to follow Maharaj in his cabin and say, Maharaj, I still don't get this philosophical point. And Maharaj would spend so much time. So it's a real honor for us to be here.
Yeah, coming back here brings us back to our beginning of Krishna consciousness, and it's so refreshing to be here. The smell and the sight and the sounds and everything in Gitanagari is very rejuvenating. So, thank you. And beg for permission and blessings from all the senior devotees here and all the devotees. We are not qualified to speak on this subject matter because this is beyond our means, but we'll try to make some attempt. So, before we start, this is a quiz for you. Who distributed the first book in the history of the world?
Yes.
Okay. Jiva Goswami. Yes. What's your name, Prabhu? Shivaram. So Shivaram Prabhu shared that Jiva Goswami, he authorized and gave the books to Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur to go to Bengal and distribute books. So applause for Shivaram Prabhu. Hari Bol. Any other answers? Who distributed the first book?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sukadeva Goswami. Yes. Sukadeva Goswami gave it to Parikshit Maharaj. Yes. Your name, Prabhu? Veerabhadradas. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Bol. Yes, Prabhu.
The Supreme Lord gave the Vedas to Lord Brahma.
Aha!
Did you see my notes? Hare Bol, Raghunandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, right on.
I would say the first time it was given when Ved Vyas wrote, turned the Vedas from the word form into the written form.
Yes.
And Ganesh ji, as far as I know, he wrote it down. That was the first time the scriptures were written down.
Yes.
Very nice.
Maybe. Yeah.
Your name, Mataji?
Shalini.
Hare Krishna, Shalini.
Hare Krishna.
So in spiritual life, every answer is correct. And everything is best, and there is best, and best, and then there is no end to. So we don't have black and white. We have all encompassing, because the Supreme Lord is infinite. So this is my take on it, and I learned it from Raghunandan Prabhu just now. So this is how the first book was distributed. As we see in Bhagavatam, Krishna reveals that this first verse Vyasadeva describes, Janmadeshyetha Anvayaditaradashyartheshu Abhigyaswarat, and then book distribution. Tene Brahma Hidaya Adi Kavaye. So here we see this first book, modern philosophy and modern technology is now just finding out about this method of book distribution. And they're calling it e-book and i-book or whatever you call it. But this is the first e-book that was distributed. It was the book that was distributed from the heart of Lord Krishna himself into the heart of Lord Brahma. So there was a Kindle in the heart of Brahma. Boom, you go to Amazon.com, press the switch, and this book appeared in the heart of Lord Brahma. And not only the book appeared, but Lord Brahma also immediately assimilated it and realized it. So it's not just book distribution, but I mean, sometimes you give a book to the person, you put it in the shelf, right? I have so many books that I keep moving from house to house. But Brahma didn't put it in the shelf, he immediately realized this knowledge. Tene Brahma Hidaya, and that's why he became Adi Kavaye. Adi Kavaye means he is called the Adi Kavi, the original Kavi, because Kavi is a person who is extremely learned. And how did he become learned? Because he received this knowledge from the Supreme Lord himself. So the Supreme Lord himself is the first book distributor. He's showing by his example. And it's very interesting, I was meditating on this verse, and it's very interesting verse. This Prabhupada explains that this first verse of Bhagavatam describes the absolute truth. Like the last line says, Satyam Paramam Dhimahi. And Prabhupada goes into great length and explains what is the difference between absolute truth and Bhagavan. This, and it goes in detail. And it struck me that in this definition of absolute truth, this verse is very, very important for Vaishnavas. And in this verse that defines the absolute truth, the first line describes who the absolute truth is, right? Janmadeshayata, from whom everything comes. Anvayaditratascharteshu abhigya, he knows everything. Swarat, he's fully independent. And then you may say, what does he do? Well, he does book distribution. Tene brahma hidaya adikavaye. This is what he does. This is the first thing he does. Tene brahma hidaya adikavaye muhyanti yat suraya. So we see how this first verse of Bhagavatam, which describes the absolute truth, starts with book distribution. And the last verse of Bhagavatam also, this is the first verse of Bhagavatam, last verse of Bhagavatam. So I was listening to a seminar by His Grace Radhika Raman Prabhu, our scholar. And he was saying that the way you find out what is this book about, you find out what does it talk about in the beginning, what does it talk about in the middle, and what does it talk about in the end. And all the three things should coincide. And if they coincide, then you can say, oh, this is the main purpose or the main topic of this book. And so what is the main topic of Bhagavatam? The last verse. Let's look at the last verse of Bhagavatam. The last verse of Bhagavatam also ends with Nama Sankirtan. Nama Sankirtan is non-different from book distribution. Nama Sankirtanam Yashya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. So Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is emphasizing, starts with book distribution and ends with book distribution. And similarly, we also say in Bhagavad Gita, like the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, from 10.8 to 10.11, the second verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that I am the absolute truth, and then he describes that, what do my devotees, once you know that Krishna is the absolute truth, then what do you do? Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasvaram. So the word bodhayanta is explained by the acharyas. Bodhayanta is an order. Bodhayanta, you have to enlighten each other. So when we give one of these transcendental books to the person, there's a bodhayanta going on in both the directions. We are enlightening the person who is taking the book, but that person is also enlightening us in so many different ways. So this bodhayanta parasparam is going on. And so we see that in the four essential verses of Bhagavad Gita, book distribution again appears there.
So if something is so integral, we understand in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada talks about the dharma of a living entity. And Prabhupada describes that as being the natural characteristic of a living entity, which if taken away from that living entity or that object ceases to be. So Prabhupada gives the example of liquidity from water and sweetness from sugar. So if Sankirtan is the beginning and, you know, it's what the Bhagavatam starts with and it's what's included in the definition of the absolute truth, then we could perhaps look a little bit deeper and see, is that even part of the dharma of a living entity in terms of both the receiver as well as the giver? And maybe I'll start with the receiver part. So we understand that every living entity, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is defined as marginal energy, right? And marginal energy means tathashta shakti. And what does tathashta shakti means? It means that they can choose this way or that way. They can go this way or that way, which means that they have a quality which is they're open to suggestion, right? We can go to them and we can say, hey, what do you think about this? And they'll be, yeah, that's a good idea. And so this is actually a function or a quality of a jiva. And even the secular world, they understand this quality. And hence we have this multi-billion dollar, you know, advertising industry, which is basically telling people, hey, get this and you'll be happy. Buy this and you'll be happy. So they're tapping into this quality, which is that they're open to suggestion. So from the perspective of, and then we'll get a little bit more into how their being open to suggestion has created revolutions in this world. So let's just take a little detour and get to the point of as a giver. Sometimes, you know, devotees, I've heard devotees say, oh, I cannot do sankirtan and I don't like to talk or I'm shy or how. And I was just reflecting on this, that actually even the act of giving or the act of sharing or the act of sankirtan is actually the natural function of every living entity. And you can see that as soon as you go out into the world, what's Facebook all about? It's all about WhatsApp. What is it all? I watched this movie. Hey, you guys got to go watch this movie. It's an amazing movie, right? Or guess what? I read this book. You need to read it. So all around us, everyone is engaged in some kind of glorification, some kind of sankirtan. Even a little ant, I mean, right now is the ant season. I don't know how it is in your houses, but my house, I see a lot of ants around. And I often wonder, how do they find out? One tiny, if I just make a mistake of leaving a one tiny crumb in some corner of the kitchen, there's a whole host of them, they just appear. And I was thinking, it's because one little ant goes around saying, hey, guess what? There's a little crumb in that corner, let's go. And so that's the function of all living entities, that as soon as we find out about anything nice, we want to go out and tell everybody about it. And so, just both in terms of giving as well as receiving, it is very natural. Prabhupada says in his famous lecture on chanting Hare Krishna, he says, this is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is actually the natural function, natural dharma. And so we can see that, you know, when we open ourselves up and when we start seeing Sankirtan as a very natural thing, if we are excited, we will want to share, then it's no longer intimidating. And we see that even like, you know, when we see how, and I think you're going to go to those slides, I guess this was a little question we want to ask you guys. How many of you guys here have ever read cover to cover, or even maybe a chapter of The Origin of Species? Anyone here ever read the whole book, Small parts, okay. Here is the follow-up question. How many of you here know or have ever heard the theory of evolution? How is that? None of us have ever read it, and yet all of us know about it. So you can continue.
So the idea, the point that Vaisheshika Prabhu makes is that the books are containers, and they contain idea seeds. So these idea seeds, when the book goes out, these idea seeds go and sit in somebody's house, and then somebody opens the book, the idea seeds come out, puk, 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 and then they start enter our heads. And they start fructifying and germinating and creating something wonderful. So this is what we see in the examples of Charles Darwin, Origin of Species, one book that has influenced humanity like nothing else. This whole rampant increase in atheism is largely because of this Origin of Species. This one person who put these idea seeds into the book and just released it.
And we were watching this one movie about, this was a movie made on Charles Darwin. It was so amazing to see how hesitant he was to actually put this idea in a book. And his wife kept discouraging him, and the local priest kept telling him that this is not a good idea. And then he had some experience losing his daughter, and then he went on and he wrote this novel, this book, and it's made such a big impact.
Can you relate what prevalent idea this book relates to? Or what prevalent idea this book generated?
Yes. The invisible hand.
The invisible hand, okay. Raghunandan Prabhu?
Economics.
Specifically, close. Yes.
Capitalism.
Yes.
Capitalism. So, Amazon, eBay, Nike, everything just came out of this one book. Adam Smith, one of the first presidents of America, he came up with this very powerful book, The Wealth of Nations, which generated capitalism. Another quiz. What is the importance of this book?
Relates to...
Go ahead. Any wild guesses?
Yes, Prabhu. Constitution.
Close.
It's connected to the American history.
Yeah, Thomas Paine wrote Ideas, which basically started the American Revolution, and the rest is history.
This is another really interesting book. We were just reading about how he was actually in the prison, and he was not allowed to obviously they didn't want him to write. So his wife used to come on conjugal visits, and she would bring him paper, and he would actually write this, you know, whatever manuscripts on with lemon juice. And then, you know, the prison guard would say, oh yeah, these are just plain sheets, nothing. And his wife would take it out. And then, of course, she went on and published this book, which finally created a revolution. And he went on to, become a great political leader. So it's amazing how just sitting in the prison, he was able to create a revolution just through the written word. So it's the Bible. And
yeah.
All these are powerful books that have, you know, that we are so familiar with, but they all had their beginning with one person taking the time to sit down and just write it. And we see how it has impacted the whole world.
And Gutenberg, who credited with inventing printing press, he actually invented press to print Bibles. That was his primary purpose. And that's how Bibles became spread throughout the world.
You can go to any motel and open the drawer and you'll see a Bible in the drawer, right? How widespread is that? So it's... Anyways, the whole idea of this whole section here is to demonstrate that the pen is actually mightier than the sword. And it's a very, very powerful thing. Words are very powerful. Just yesterday I was talking to this Kunti Mataji and, you know, we were having an exchange. And she said, and I was saying, yeah, sometimes we don't realize how powerful words are. And they can impact us in so many different ways. And we see it can create revolutions and change people's lives.
And so our line, whole tradition is called Sampradaya, which is front runner in this book distribution. And the word Sampradaya, as Vaisheshika Prabhu explains, Samyak means complete, and Pradaya means to give. Samyak Pradayate means complete gift. Complete gift. That's the meaning of Sampradaya. So our whole tradition is about writing books and distributing them.
This is a really, I thought, a really interesting point that when I was not familiar with, I oftentimes, of course, the idea of small bookstores is quickly vanishing, and it's such a pity. But every time I drive, I used to take my son to his school, and there used to be this tiny little bookstore. And I used to think, really, you know, I wonder who even goes there. And then this fact came out that even the tiniest bookstore in the world has more ideas stored in it than all the television shows, which has been going on for I don't know how many years now, combined together. So this is the power of these little books that just go out and contain so many different idea seeds. So the idea is that, you know, of course you were talking about the edge book. We said, oh, we should call this book, you know, something. And we were saying, oh, let's call it the edge book. Krishna transmitted into the heart of Lord Brahma. And then what does Lord Brahma do? If you see here, it's so interesting that what does he have in his hand? He has a book. And then let's go on to the next slide. What does he have in his hand? Book. Let's go on to the next one. Book? Yes? Let's go on. Rupa Goswami? Book? Srila Sanatan Goswami? Sitting under a tree, doing what? Der Kadamba is such a beautiful place where we go. Rupa Goswami sat under there and wrote such amazing books. Let's continue. We see this, the six Goswamis, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, spent so many hours of his day just writing down this transcendental literature. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, see a whole library. And then Srila Prabhupada, books. He came with books. And he said, I'm always stressing, where are books, books, books? So our whole sampradaya is actually a sampradaya of books. And that's what's being transmitted. That's what the acharyas, they come down when you were mentioning, right, that how Vedavyas, as soon as he saw how Kali Yuga is going to be, what did he think? He said, oh, I have to put this down, I have to create a book. And that's what he did, and he engaged Lord Ganesh to do that. So the acharyas, it's very amazing that we kind of talked about how people have created revolutions using the power of the written word, and how the industries, big industries, are using advertising to propagate their ideas. The acharyas, I mean, all of these acharyas, they are very progressive, and they're great visionaries. And they understand that simply by giving out these books and putting these books out there, the world can be changed, one person at a time. But it's very powerful. So, just like my husband was making this point, that when you read the beginning of a book, and then you read the end of a book, and the middle of a book, and then you can connect the dots together, and you can see, okay, this is what the book wants to say. In the same way, when we see two great personalities like Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, their first meeting, what was the first meeting? What was the first instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave to Prabhupada? Yeah, to preach to the Western world, right? That was the first one. And what was the last one? And to me, the last one is even more significant because the Bhagavad Gita is very special because there's Arjuna and there's Krishna and they're standing on the battlefield, very confidential relationship. And so you want to hear in, you want to, you know, say, oh, I want to know, what are they talking about? In the same way, Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, very confidential relationship. Two great acharya, two greatest acharyas of our sampradaya. It's very confidential. What are they talking about? Very confidential place. The Nectar of Instruction describes that in the entire universe, there is no place more confidential than Sri Sri Radha Kund. Very confidential place. And that meeting was also a very confidential and a very significant meeting. Why? Because it was the last meeting. Right? So if you put all of those factors together, so it becomes very important for us to really, really open up our ears, like Sachinandan Swami says, you know, open up our ears really wide and try to hear in. What are they talking about?
It's like if some rich millionaire is about to die and he has all these secret bank account numbers that he has not revealed to anybody, and he's just about to die and he calls his son, come here, come here. Okay, 15. Can you bring your phone and I'll give you all these numbers, right? It's like the most confidential, otherwise nobody will find out about that.
You definitely want to be around at that time, right? So it's the same thing, it's a very confidential. What is the conversation? Right on the banks of Radha Kund, when you would think that many esoteric discussions would be taking place, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave a very direct order. He said, if you ever get money, print books. And Arshila Prabhupada, he took that order in his heart, and the rest is, of course, we're all sitting here.
And so, also, Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj before he left the body, and the final letter that Prabhupada got from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was that, if you get money, print books.
So I guess this is a very important question that comes up is why this emphasis on giving? Why are the acharyas stressing so much, give, give, go out and share this knowledge, print books, why? And I was just, there was a little post, and you might have seen this, Prema Tarangini just shared this post, and I was like, oh my God, this is a Sankirtan post. And I don't know if you guys saw that, this was the comparison between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. And I found it so amazing that apparently the Dead Sea is huge as compared to the Sea of Galilee. Much, much bigger. And they also receive water from exactly the same source, the River of Jordan. But the most amazing thing is the Sea of Galilee has apparently at least 20 different kinds of fishes. It's steaming with life. And there is so much, it sustains life and it's just so alive. While the Dead Sea, as the name suggests, is completely dead. There's no life can exist there. It's toxic. And they were describing what is the difference. Even though they're receiving water from the same source, one of the seas actually multiple times bigger than the other one. And yet, why is one dead and the other alive? It's because the Dead Sea does not have an outlet. It just takes and never gives back. And the Sea of Galilee, whatever it receives, it just gives it back. And so you see how when we receive this, and so the acharyas, when they're emphasizing this, it is not just because they want to change the world. Yes, that's a big part, but it's also because it will make our hearts alive. We can actually become filled with this internal potency, which is all about knowledge, bliss, and we'll be infused with this enthusiasm.
So just a few points I'd like to share about this whole topic of why is it important to give. Because this is how Lord Chaitanya started. Our first book distributor in our tradition is Lord Chaitanya, who, when he went to South India, he found these two amazing books, Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita, and immediately got them copied and then brought them back to Jagannath Puri for distribution. This is a very interesting verse I found in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto chapter is Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. And this verse basically emphasizes in both ways. Yidvajamana eva cheva sarvato lokastrayohi anuvibrijanta ete. yannavrajan jantasu yen anugraha vrajanti bhadrani charanti yen nisham. The self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets, by whose illumination all the illuminating planets within this material world give off reflected light, cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. So that's the negative. Yannavrajan jantasu ye na anugraha. So those who don't do mercy to others, they cannot. Only persons who constantly engage in welfare activities for other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. So it's saying both the negative and the positive, but it's emphasizing the same points, that it is, we don't have a choice not to engage in this giving service. And for us, this is the order from Lord Chaitanya. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting South India, he met this Kurma Brahman who was very inclined to leave his family and just walk away with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can't handle this family life. How many of you have that feeling? It's too much. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe ehi baat kabhu na kahiba, grahe rahe Krishna naam nirantar loiba. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't speak like this ever again to me. Grahe rahe Krishna naam nirantar loiba. You stay at home and take Krishna's name constantly. But then, he doesn't stop there. He says, Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades, amara gyae guru hoya tare taro ehi desh. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. We only hear that, okay, he told us to chant Hare Krishna. But chanting Hare Krishna means, it includes within it, Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. If you just do one, not the other, it's not complete. If you just chant, but not Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades, then our chanting will become not so complete. It will kind of become stagnant. If you just Jare dekho tare kaho, but don't chant, then we won't be able to Jare dekho tare kaho either. Right? So both of them, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And this appears many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always emphasizes both the things have to go hand in hand together for us to get the maximum benefit very, very quickly. And this transcendental books distribution, it relieves the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya. In this chapter, in the Antya, glorification of Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing his heart to Haridas Thakur, that he says, Iha sabara kon mate hoi ba nistara, tahara hetu na dekhiye e dukh apara, that how will this condition souls be delivered? And seeing this, I have a great pain in my heart. And at that time, Haridas Thakur says that, Haridas kahe prabhu chinta na kariha, yavanera sansara dekhi dukha na bhaviya. And so Prabhupada writes in this purport that one who identifies himself as a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should feel like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, Iha savara kon mate hoibe nistara. How will all these yavanas be delivered? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always anxious to deliver the fallen souls because their fallen condition gave him great unhappiness. That is the platform on which one can propagate the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in the very next verse, when Haridas Thakur replies, Prabhupada says in the purport that these words of Haridas Thakur are just befitting a devotee who has dedicated his life and soul to the service of the Lord. When the Lord is unhappy because of the condition of the fallen souls, the devotee consoles him, saying, My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. This is service. Everyone should adopt the cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to relieve him from the anxiety he feels. This is actually service to the Lord. So many times we talk about the word Sankirtan. What does Sankirtan mean to you? And I guess understanding from Prabhupada, it appears that Sankirtan means this whole taking on Lord Chaitanya's anxiety. When we take on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anxiety in our heart, just like I grew up in a business family, and right from the day go, when I got my senses, I was sitting in my father's shop and talking to customers and counting money and doing this, all this. And lo and behold, I developed this anxiety in my heart. Today they are less customers. Tomorrow they are good customers. Today there is more money. Tomorrow there is less money. Oh, our competitor is doing better than us today. So this was the anxiety I developed just by sitting in my father's shop. I developed the anxiety of my father. And this went on, and then finally I realized that this anxiety is not good for me too. So I came into the service industry. But Sankirtan means taking this anxiety of Lord Chaitanya. And once we take on this anxiety, that will express no matter what kind of service we do. Once we have that anxiety, how can I use my talents, my ability to spread this Krishna consciousness movement? That is Sankirtan. That is the spirit of Sankirtan. And this Sankirtan is also glorified by the gopis because it relieves their anxiety. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, 31st chapter, the song of separation, the famous gopi geet, the gopis are feeling this intense separation from Lord Krishna because Lord Krishna has suddenly disappeared. And they are glorifying him. And in the middle of that in that feeling of intense separation, what is relieving them of their anxiety? They reveal their heart in this famous verse. Tava kathamritam tat jivanam kaviriditam kalmashapaham shavanamangalam srimadadatam bhuviginantiye buridajana. By the way, the meter of this verse is called Rajahamsa. Rajahamsa means like a royal swan. So when you sing this, Tava kathamritam tat, it's like a royal swan walking, very, very regal, with a lot of majesty. So in the last verse, last line, they say, Bhuvi girnanti ye bhuri dajana. What is relieving them of this anxiety is when they see conditioned souls, they are relieved of their anxiety of separation from Krishna. Because everybody, Prabhupada says, everybody is suffering from separation from Krishna. All our material miseries are as a result of separation from Krishna. So when the gopis see that living entities are being relieved of their separation from Krishna, that relieves their anxiety of separation. And when the gopis are relieved of their anxiety of separation, then Krishna becomes happy and the circle becomes complete. So whenever we give Krishna consciousness to others in any form, through books, through prasadam, through any means, just remember that you are relieving the anxiety of the gopis. They are noting your scores. Yes, you did this.
Also, as this is, sometimes it is, a question, it definitely came to me, long time ago, that when we are serving Krishna, what about our own happiness? Does it really, yes, we are trying to relieve Lord Chaitanya of his anxiety, and of course all of you are magnanimous souls, so maybe this question doesn't come into your heart, but the fact of Sankirtan is that as we are trying to satisfy Krishna's anxiety, our own anxieties become actually, in Vyasadeva's story, that is the only way he could relieve his own anxiety. After writing all the Vedas and the Puranas and doing all of that, he was still suffering from depression. He was still feeling dissatisfied and was thinking, what is the matter? What is it that I'm missing in this? And I don't know if I have felt that many times when we are not, for whatever reason, there's a break in our Sankirtan, then I start feeling this restlessness in the heart, like, oh, what is missing? And then we go out on Sankirtan, and then immediately, this is what we were missing. So because it relieves our own anxiety, and Vyasadeva also experiences that, and then Narada comes to him and he says, you haven't sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's why you're experiencing this. And so then he goes on to compile the great Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is direct glorification of Krishna. It's interesting that Dale Carnegie, he actually talks about, what is the name of that book? How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. In that book, he talks about a 14-day challenge of how to overcome depression and anxiety. And his 14-day challenge is that go out every day and give and do some act of kindness for somebody. And he says that within 14 days, you'll actually start feeling uplifted. So we see even in the secular world, we see how people actually, just the act of going out, and what to speak of giving something that is the topmost, but even when people try to reach out and make a difference in somebody's life, even if that's very small, it not just that it affects the person that's receiving, but it also changes our own heart, and we start experiencing a cessation of anxiety, and it gets replaced by the highest kind of ecstasy. And my husband, he lost his grandfather. This was, I don't know, how many years ago?
10, 12 years ago.
And he was very attached to his grandfather. He had very deep attachment to him. And I remember when the night he found out about it, he was really, really devastated. And then we, I guess it was just like a heavy cloud that was sitting on both of our hearts, but especially his. And so at that time, we decided to go out for door-to-door. And we said, all right, we didn't really feel like, we were in a state to do too much. We said, we'll just go knock on a few doors, or maybe just one door even. And so we did that. And I guess maybe you want to share. I mean, it was amazing to see the transformation in him right after knocking on one door.
Yeah, I felt this deep cloud that was just engulfing me. It just immediately went away, and I felt like I'm a human being again. And we had to go to a program at somebody's house, and I said, okay, now I can go there. I can be a civil person there. So I really felt the impact of this distributing Prabhupada's books, how powerful they are in that particular instance.
Has anybody ever had that experience? Going out on Sankirtan and how it completely fills up your heart with so much happiness. Just one book, right? I know Brajlila Mataji was last year, we were distributing books together at the Rath Yatra. I was so blissful. And that's the other thing, is to distribute books is very blissful, but to distribute books with other devotees is just another level of bliss. The other point is that, yeah, all right, so we understand giving something is very special and it makes us happy and people do that. But what's so special about Prabhupada's books? What about, you know, what is the special significance? Because many times, and I've heard this personally, people have doubts and they think, well, Prabhupada's books are too difficult to understand, or maybe, has anybody ever heard this? Or how are they going to understand this? And sometimes it does seem like it, right? The Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter is all this historical context. And sometimes I do this a lot actually. I take a book, and I'm, especially after I've gone out on book distribution, I read the book and I'm thinking, okay, this is what that person is reading. And so I'm trying to read that through the eyes or the mind of the person who might have received it. And sometimes it can be quite daunting, right? It might seem like, how are they going to understand all this? All the Sanskrit words, all the, you know, difficult technical language. It's difficult. So this was something we'd been kind of thinking about, and my husband, you know, he had this realization that just like Narottam Das Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to this Padma River, right? And even though Narottam Das Thakur had not appeared, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deposited love of Krishna Prema in that river. And then years later, Narottam Das Thakur came and he took a dip in that water. And what happened? He gets immersed in this Krishna Prema. So Prabhupada, this is not just a book of knowledge, which it is. Prabhupada said these books are going to be the law books for the next 10,000 years. And the history of the world is going to look back at these books and they're going to say how these books have saved the world. So it is all of that. But it is also a repository, just like the Padma River was holding love of Krishna, Krishna Prema. In the same way, these books actually contain, they're containers of Prabhupada's Krishna Prema. Prabhupada actually said, these books are my personal ecstasies. So they contain within them this pure love of Krishna. So anybody who comes in touch with these books, not even come in touch, anybody who even sees these books, when we go out on door to door, sometimes we take these books and we shake them in front. If somebody didn't open their door, we shake it in front of their door. Okay, they got some dust, you know, from these books. So they'll be purified. The power of these books, anybody coming in touch with them, their lives are going to be transformed. And they will be infused with that same Krishna Prema that, like, just like Narottam Das Thakur was when he took a dip in the Padma River.
Yeah, although many times Prabhupada is called as an equal opportunity offender, because he will say very strong statements about boom, 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 about this kind of people and that kind of people and that kind of people. And many times people think, oh, somebody will be offended. But regardless of that, because these books contain this prema that Prabhupada has deposited, they come in touch with them, they will be affected. They may get offended maybe briefly, or they may not like it briefly, but they have been infected by this.
I was offended. I remember when I first got The Science of Self-Realization, I remember that was the first, well, I was reading the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, but that was the second book I got. And when I started reading it, Prabhupada was just going on and on about philosophers, professors, and coming from India, you know, education is like, you know, all right, we all should get educated. And Prabhupada was saying, oh, and it was hard for me. I remember I struggled with that idea. It's like, why is, you know, so the point is that sometimes there might be some struggle, but because these books are infused with Prabhupada's personal ecstasies, they have an impact on the heart and our heart gets transformed. And this has been our experience in all these years. We actually have a bhakti lounge. And even apart from the bhakti lounge, one of the things we tend to do in our book table is we always are continuously meeting people who say, oh, I got this book from you last year, or I got this book a few years ago, I met you guys in this other festival. So we ask them, like, all right, so what do you think about these books? And it's amazing the kind of responses we get from people. It just, you know, people are so touched. They've never read anything like this before. But specifically in our bhakti lounge, we were taking these books and we were reading these purports. And there was one lady, Kate, and she had a big problem with God. The word, you know, anything which said God, it would throw her off in a state of panic. And she was very traumatized. And when you start reading Prabhupada's books, I don't know if you ever counted, how many times does Prabhupada say Supreme Personality of God and Sri Krishna's, you know. And so it was very, very hard for her. And at one point in the program, this was I think a few months later, she said, you know, in the beginning, I fought it tooth and nail. I said, every time you guys would mention the G word, I would get upset. But she said, now I cannot fight this anymore. And I said, she said, I just don't know what to do. She said, this is just so freaking true that I just have to accept it. So even though it's a little hard, it's a struggle, it's a little bit of that churning in the heart for people, but when they actually associate with Prabhupada's books, their hearts are transformed.
Mm-hmm. And we all know Prabhupada said that ISKCON is my body, and then he said, these books are my heart, these books are my chitta. Because and he also said that my books are actually better than me. Mm. Because I have put all my essence, all my deepest, like when you work, put your everything into something, and you feel like this is your net result. So Prabhupada said, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I was listening to a lecture by him, he said, Prabhupada said, my books are actually better than me. If you really want to know me, then read my books. And we also know that how Prabhupada emphasized that even if somebody doesn't read the book, even if they touch the book, even if they see the book, they will be eternally benefited. And I used to always think, how is that possible? How, just by touching a book, how can they be benefited? And then I ran across this beautiful verses in Bhagavatam, which are one of my most dear verses. This is a pastime of Aghasur, how Aghasur is killed by, ultimately liberated by Lord Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj, when he sees that how Aghasur was so sinful, and he gets the Sarupya Mukti in his Goloka, then Parikshit Maharaj has a very puzzled look on his face. And Sukadeva Goswami, seeing that question in his mind, he actually, even before Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, Sukadeva Goswami answers this question to him. And for me, this represents, this holds true also for Prabhupada's books. So these verses, if you like, you can sing with me. Because I love singing them. Netad vichitram manujarvamaina paravaranam paramashvedasa aghopiyat sparshan dhota pataka prapatma samyatva satam sudurlabham Sakridyadanga pratimantarahita mano mai bhagavatim dadogatim sa eva nityatma sukhanubhutyavi vyudushtamayantaragato hi kimpuna. So the third line in the first verse, aghopi yat sparshana dhota patakam. So Sukadeva Goswami is answering, what was the qualification of Aghasur? Why did he achieve such a Sarupya Mukti that is impossible? Because he wanted to kill Krishna, and he already killed all the coward boys by the time Krishna enters. So he answers, Agopiyat Sparshana Dhota Patakam. The only qualification of Aghasur was Sparshana. Krishna personally touched his body. Sparshana. Agopi Dhota Patakam, which he became completely freed from all the papas and achieved. And then he says, and then before that, Sakridya Danga Pratimantarahita. Sakrid means once, and he wants Aghasur. Just meditating on the form of Krishna. So when all the coward boys enters the mouth of Krishna and he kills them, then Aghasura is just patiently waiting. Oh, when is Krishna going to enter my mouth now? When will I kill him? So that is the moment he actually meditates on the form of Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami says that was his second qualification. He just once meditated. And I find that this is so true for Prabhupada's books. We see that so many people, they touch Prabhupada's books or just take them home and they don't do anything with it. Their life changes. Or they see Prabhupada's books, and we see so many people, oh, I saw this book like 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Same people come back, and they will take a book, and their life is changed forever. So just the sight of Prabhupada's books, or just the touch of Prabhupada's books, finished. Their material life is finished.
It's actually, I was just thinking, we were thinking of one, but I just remembered another one, uh-huh. Which is a scene. There was this one story, there are two stories, and two of my favorite stories. One is, there was this lady who was rushing off through the airport, and a book distributor approached her and said, well, you know, here, take this book. And she just looked at the book. I don't think she actually took the book.
She didn't.
She just looked at the book.
Krishna
and she
book.
Yeah, it was a Krishna book. And she rushed off. And I think she was going for paragliding, was it?
Yeah.
And as she was doing that, I think something happened. There was some accident. Her parachute did not open or whatever. She was having a fall. And I think
free fall.
And as she was falling down, her whole life flashed, you know, through her eyes, and her memory got stuck on that picture that she had just seen right before she had boarded the plane.
Krishna book.
The Krishna book, the picture of Krishna. And then for some reason, miraculous reason, she actually did not die. And then immediately she wanted to find out, like, what was that book, you know, that my mind got stuck to. And then she came, she found the devotees, and if I'm not mistaken, I think she went on to become a devotee. So this is the power, like he was saying, Agasura, just by one moment of meditation, just, you know, a person. Another story I heard was Badri Narayan Prabhu. He said the story in Mayapur, in the Bhagavatam class. It was the most incredible story. There was this brahmachari who never wanted to go for book distribution. And this Badri Narayan Prabhu said, Maharaj, he said, please come. It's not difficult. It's actually quite easy. So he was like this very timid person. So they went door to door. And as soon as they went door to door, this really, really old lady, she opened the door. And when she opened the door, they showed her the book. And as soon as she saw the cover of the book, suddenly she just fell flat on the ground and she was gone. And this brahmachari freaked out. He said, I thought you said that book distribution is really easy. Never signed up for this one. So we see how, you know. And then of course, I'm sure you guys have heard the story of the Swiss banker, right? Everyone here has heard the story of the Swiss banker? Should I? Alright, so I'll try to keep it really short. This is another amazing story of this Mataji who used to distribute books on the train in some... Was it Paris? Okay, it was Paris. And she was distributing, and there was this man who was very envious and very angry. And he saw her, and he took the Krishna book from her, and he stomped it, you know, with his feet, and he tore it in two parts, and he dragged her by the hair, and he threw her out of the train. And then he felt very happy. It's like, okay, I've done my good job for the day, you know, and I'm really proud of it. And so he decided to take that book and put it in his library as a souvenir of something great that he had done. Takes it home, puts it... actually he just wanted to show it to his wife. So he brings home and he puts it on the table, and then his cleaning lady comes in and she sees this book that's torn, and she thinks, oh, okay, looks like this book needs a little bit of mending. So she puts it together and puts it in his library. Fast forward a few months, a few years, I don't know how much time passed, this man's life fell apart. His wife left him, his business fell apart, I think one of his kids committed suicide, he was basically a wreck. And he came to that point where he said, I'm just going to end my life, there's no point in my living anymore. So he goes into the library and he says, alright, before I die, I'm just going to maybe read the Bible, just read a book, and then kill myself. So as he goes to grab whatever book he wanted to read, he accidentally grabs the Krishna book, and then he opens it, sits down on the sofa, and he starts reading it. As he starts reading it, he's completely amazed at what he's reading, and he cannot believe it. And he completely, you know, I think for the next 3 days, he actually sits in that library just reading through the book. His life transformed, his heart filled with remorse that he had treated this devotee in such a terrible way, and his life saved. And then he decides to find out, and he finds out, oh, there's a temple. So he goes there, knocks on the door, and then as soon as the temple president opens the door, he falls flat and he says, I'm so sorry, I misbehaved with one of your devotees. Anyways, goes on to become a devotee, and finally, years later, I'm told, he actually met that Mataji in Mayapur festival. And he approached her and he fell at her feet and asked for forgiveness. But I can only imagine how happy that Mataji must have been. You know, anytime one book distributed and you see somebody coming through the temple, that is actually the greatest happiness for any preacher. So, amazing story of how just by coming in touch, just by seeing Prabhupada's books, just by touching Prabhupada's books, even by insulting Prabhupada's books, that's another, sometimes people have this, what if I give a book and they disrespect it? These books are actually not just the literary forms of Krishna, they're the most merciful forms of Krishna. And they go where no man has ever gone before. They go places where we cannot even imagine, you know, ourselves being in it. Sometimes when we knock on people's doors, even the stench that's coming out from their kitchen is sometimes unbearable, right? Sometimes it is really, really hard. But yet, the book actually goes into those homes and it sits on their bookshelf, just like the super soul sitting in our heart, waiting for us to turn towards him. In the same way, these books are the external manifestation of that super soul. It's just waiting there patiently One day this living entity is going to be in difficulty. He's going to need me. And that's how these books make an impact.
Yeah, there's so many stories like that. We can go on, but for sake of time. This is another point that Vaisheshika Prabhu makes, is that book distribution is high sadhana. This book distribution itself will give us realization that will enhance our whatever service we are doing. And they go hand in hand. It really uplifts us in a place that otherwise it's kind of very hard to get into. He talks about this this chart, which is, he says, positive stress. So what book distribution does, it provides this stimulation where we are in this positive stress, because there's something forces us to go into a out of our comfort zone, do something good for others, extend Prabhupada's mercy. So it kind of keeps our spiritual life very, very active and alive. It's something that
There's so much anxiety. Even every time we step out with a bag,
yeah,
still you experience that stress, you know, that anxiety. And I think after you come back, I think the good part about this is when you come back, you really want to know what's in those books that you just gave out. So you read Prabhupada's books with greater... I mean, I do that. I'm like, okay, what did I just give out? What are they reading? How are they understanding this? And then somehow Prabhupada's books, you just... I remember there was one time when Lokadaksha and I were sitting in the swimming, we taking Nimai for a swim, and we were sitting there reading, what was the book? Perfection of Yoga, was it? One of the small books. And both of us started reading, and we're like, oh my God, people are actually reading this. This is amazing stuff. And we just wanted to quickly go out. So these books, what they do, they actually work hand in hand. One of the reasons why it's high sadhana is because they actually enhance our appreciation for what we are giving out. You come back and you want to go deeper for many reasons. Another reason is people are going to ask you questions. You better know a little bit about what you're giving out. So it forces you to really go deeper in them. And also the chanting, it really, that anxiety forces you, like you are on a flight and the flight is starting to, there's some turbulence. Immediately you take out your japa beads. Same thing with book distribution. You go out, you know you have to go out. You're like, okay, I better chant better rounds, you know, so that I can handle it.
Vaisheshika Prabhu always says that it provides, like bhakti yoga is like, we consider bhakti yoga as an elevator in comparison to other processes of self-realization. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, as Prabhupada describes, as an elevator instead of walking the steps. And sankirtan, in any form, is an elevator inside that elevator. So it's really makes it very, very super fast. You can travel at a speed that is hard to attain otherwise. Because the mercy of the acharyas is actually boosting us up in that special mercy.
Another reason, sankirtan doesn't just mean distributing books.
Right.
And this is a very important point. Vaisheshika Prabhu went to Prabhupada and said, you know, was basically telling him about all the numbers and all the books that have been distributed. And Prabhupada's response to them was, are you reading these books? And that is one of the biggest factors that I think is almost, we cannot separate the two. They're two sides of the same coin. In order to distribute books, you have to read. And if you read, you cannot stop distributing Prabhupada's books. They go hand in hand. And this is our experience that when we take, just like we chant 16 rounds every day, in the same way, when we can start taking these vows in our life of reading Prabhupada's books every day, then great transformation happens in our own hearts and also in the lives of others. It's very, very powerful. And our Guru Maharaj, he asked us to read 30 pages of Prabhupada's books every day. When he first mentioned this, we balked. We're like, really? And I said, Maharaj, but what if we have a festival and we come back at 2 at night or Janmashtami or something? He said, well, you just read and then go to sleep. We try. He said, oh, Maharaj, is it 30 pages or is it half an hour? I said, no, 30 pages. So he was adamant, and and we are so grateful to him. So grateful. Because of that instruction, we have felt such incredible mercy and so much of benefit. And so it goes hand in hand. The more we can read Prabhupada's books, and I think I was hearing Maharaj's lecture, and he was talking about unity. And this sankirtan, which involves reading Prabhupada's books and distributing Prabhupada's books, creates the greatest kind of unity. And we see that over and over again.
Yeah, we have a bhakti viksha, and I'm sure a lot of people, Raghunandan Prabhu has a bhakti viksha, many people have. And when the group is focused on reading Prabhupada's books and distributing them, it creates such a sense of deep sense of unity and mission and purpose, that this is my mission. And it creates a different kind of unity, that, and people have different backgrounds and different interests and different aptitudes in terms of who they are and what they want to do. But when the focus is on reading Prabhupada's books and distributing them in some way, it creates a unit that we don't see. At least we see in our wherever there is such. You can look at ISV. That's another example where they are so much focused on reading books and distributing books. And we see such a sense of unity. And of course, we are all humans and we'll have differences. But the overall sense of purpose and mission that comes from this is very different.
And actually, there's a story. I remembered this just a while back. I read this a long time ago, so pardon me if I don't have my facts straight. But basically, this was a summer camp where there were two buses that went for a summer camp. And they were boys and girls, or maybe even boys, I don't know. But they were really, really against each other. They hated each other. And this was an experiment, I think, that was done, where what they did was they had their tents in the camping site, and at some point, they cut short the supply of water. Have you heard that? Matiji, have you brushed it on Matiji? Have you? No? Okay. So they cut short the supply, and the whole idea of this experiment was to show that now they didn't have a choice, but they had to come together, and the only way they could actually survive in the summer in this camp was if they came together and collaborated together so that they could get the water for their camping experience. And they saw that when people actually came together with this mission, with this purpose, then suddenly their differences evaporated, vanished. Suddenly they started to understand each other because now they had a common purpose. And again, like my husband was saying, we come from a Marwari family, and it's a business family. And we've seen that growing up, that differences, so many differences. A marriage happens, tons and tons of differences, right? Everyone's fighting with each other over so many differences. But when it comes to that common family business, that we are here because we want to make profit, we want to push this business, then suddenly they put aside their differences and they're able to work together. So this is actually a very powerful thing that Sankirtan creates, is when we see the higher purpose, the higher mission, then it's easier to let go of our petty differences and work together. There's a story that we were listening to by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And apparently Tamal Krishna Maharaj had this thing with Madhudvisha Prabhu. Madhudvisha Prabhu was the temple...
Treasurer.
He was a treasurer. And so every time Tamal Krishna Maharaj would bring the Lakshmi and he would give it to Madhudvisha Prabhu, the Sunday feast would come and then he would go looking for Prabhu and Prabhu's gone. He has disappeared with the key to the treasury. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was starting to get really, really upset. Like, how do I do the Sunday feast without money? So finally he went to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, we're having this big trouble and I don't know where to get money. And so Prabhupada said, what is the problem? He said, well, I give the money to Madhudvisha Prabhu and then he just disappears when it's time to give him back. And Prabhupada said, that is a good treasurer. That means he doesn't want to waste a single, single cent. But then Prabhupada said, now find a common service. And find that common service and then your differences will vanish. And then Maharaj makes this point that they started going out on Sankirtan together. And he said, within a few times of doing that, they suddenly realized that they could actually work well together. And there was so much of, that unity that they were missing, suddenly they could experience that. So it is very powerful. The Sankirtan has the ability to bring living entities, just like Jharikhand forest, right? Animals together who would ordinarily never even see eye to eye. Suddenly they are engaged in this Sankirtan activity and they were best of friends. I mean, I can tell you one thing. My husband and I are very different. We have another friend, Sankirtan Yagya. We are very different. But when we work together over the years, we have developed a sense of team and a sense of relationship which is cemented very deeply. I speak for all three of us,
yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Yes. You can imagine when we are not doing Sankirtan what we are doing. This is a beautiful point I came across while reading Mana Siksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. Recently it came out, and this commentary by Urmila Mataji. And Prabhupada also makes the same point that Sankirtan or book distribution, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said this is basically Raganuga Bhakti in practice, sadhana, Raganuga sadhana. And that's why he, if you look at the logo of Gaudiya Math, this is crafted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. On the left side is the Vidhi mark, and on the right side is the Raga mark. And on the Raga mark, you have Bhagavatam at the top, Radha Krishna on the right, and then you have Kirtan, which is basically printing press, right above the Mridanga, because he called the printing press as the Brihad Mridanga. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes this point that this book distribution is it gives us the realization to actually understand. Otherwise, we have no qualification to understand and enter into Radha Krishna's pastimes. They are completely beyond us. So when we actually engage in the Sankirtan, we are actually able to please Lord Chaitanya, and then He gives us the entry into Radha Krishna's pastime. Otherwise, without that, it's practically impossible for us. So just by our personal sadhana, it may take us many, many lifetimes to get to that point. But Sankirtan is like a elevator within the elevator. It allows us to get into that space where we can enter into, understand, and begin to understand those pastimes.
This is a very powerful point that Prabhupada actually said, that even if everything falls apart, this movement cannot be stopped, because if anybody gets a book, the movement will just start all over again. And so we see this whenever a person comes. We have had so many people that have come into our program because of book distribution. And when they come into book distribution, many of them, first day they come in, they start going out. And those people actually, we see that people actually come in and they immediately join the family business. They go on to become very expert businessmen themselves later. And we have a friend, whose brother runs a multinational company somewhere in Bangalore. And she was asking him, she said, "You've built this big business. What if, you know, what if somebody comes and cheats you and takes it all away?" And he said to his sister, he said, "No one can take this business away from me." And the reason was because he said, "Even if they take it, I know how to start it. So I can just start it all over again." And so we see that when we actually teach people this art of Sankirtan, this art of distributing Prabhupada's books, we're actually teaching them, we're empowering them. And this move, and every time, you know, we go out and we distribute books, we're actually restarting this movement. Devaprasad Prabhu was sharing with us just recently that there was a lawsuit against the temples, and all the devotees were in great anxiety. And they were thinking, oh, what will happen if everything, you know, the temples are gone? And Mukunda Maharaj was just very peaceful. There was no anxiety. And Devaprasad Prabhu asked him, it's like, "Maharaj, you're not in any anxiety." And Maharaj said, "So, if the temples go, so what? We'll just like we did in the past. We just went out, we distributed books and created it. We'll just go back out and we'll do it all over again." So when, just like they say that, you know, you can feed a person a fish, but you teach them how to fish, you've given them food forever. Of course, fish is not a very good example, but you know what I mean. You teach them farming, and then you've given them food for a lifetime. So the same thing. You teach them, once we teach our congregation, once we teach the members that we are ourselves and the members that we are cultivating, this great sacred art of distributing Prabhupada's books, we're actually teaching them the ability, we're empowering them with the ability to start this movement over and over and over and over again. And it cannot be taken away. It's very powerful. It's a seed that we have planted in their hearts. And
So Prabhupada said chant and can't, and this is another thing, he says go, and then we say can't, I can't go. And we have, so our mind throws so many excuses and so many reasons. So I don't look good today, I don't feel good today, I don't speak well, my accent is not that good, and blah blah blah. Our mind is so expert at stopping us. So we just wanted to address and also hear from you guys what are the different obstacles that you sometimes feel or face in terms of distributing books. Anybody felt any obstacle?
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for this wonderful seminar. I'll be truthful, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be rude. I sat in this seminar. I go for Sankirtan every Saturday, and I don't distribute books. I just chant with the team, and I feel very happy doing that. My personal obstacle I feel is, I don't know what to say and where to start.
Yeah.
One person came to me, and he asked me very basic question. Are you a religion? Believe it or not, I was dumbfounded. And I just hold the hand of my friend. She's a very good book distributor in our congregation. I said, she can answer that question. And I was like, where to start? So what I was looking, I don't know if you have more slides in this.
We can do that in the breakout session. If you want to, we can, you know, go over some of the basic techniques.
But my main aim for this session was how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. It has all the glories, everything that we should do it. But I am just waiting for that slide.
So
how to do it.
So that is the breakout session. We have a lot of time.
It's hard to address the how in a short period of time. So we'll address that in the breakout session. So okay. We can do some maybe practical and then...
Okay, because Visheshika Prabhu did come to Seattle and somehow I missed that class, but I have heard him from Sunday evening and other things, but that was the thing.
Actually, this mantra that Visheshika Prabhu teaches and this whole training that he provides is actually an amazing thing. He's basically taken the mystery out of book distribution. Like Prabhu was saying, we used to go out and distribute books even before we met him, but it was always a hit or a miss. And we used to think, okay, maybe this, maybe that. But Visheshika Prabhu has taken these amazing, powerful, amazingly powerful mantras, and all you have to do really is memorize them in front of the mirror or even with your child or whoever and just go out. And they work like magic every single time. They are powerful and it really takes the pressure off you, you know, so you can actually be very comfortable. But I think you also kind of touched upon one important point, which is that all the services are within the fold of Sankirtan. Mm. So even if we go out and chant, even if we are washing the pots, even if we are worshipping the deities, actually this is all part of Sankirtan. That's a point that I'm glad you kind of brought it up a little bit. I remember growing up in a business family, my grandfather used to go out and, you know, whatever, do whatever work and then come back in the evening. And my grandmother stayed at home. But when he would come back in the evening, my grandmother would sit him down and ask him all the details. Who did you meet? What happened? How much money came in? Even though she was a housewife, but she was completely clued in to the ins and outs of the family business. And she knew, and it was her personal interest. What is it? How is it going? And many, many times, she would actually give very solid and very pertinent advice to my grandfather, who depended on her advice so that he could go out the next day. And I think this is a very significant point, that Sankirtan is not just the act of going out and distributing books. It is a place of consciousness where we are plugged into that spirit of distributing books. We asked this question to our Guru Maharaj. He said, we should always be in the preaching spirit. And we asked our Guru Maharaj, what does it mean to be always in the preaching spirit? And Mukunda Maharaj said, that means that any time preaching is happening, we should feel happy that this preaching is happening. So then it becomes we are invested in it. It's not something we are aloof from. So what this allows us to do is it allows us to see all the services as being connected to rather than as being separated from the act of distributing books. We also have another friend whose son is in the Navy, and she was telling me that every time they have to go and, I don't know what they do, but whatever, they
shooting
something. There are 20, 30 people behind, and their work is of critical importance, and that is also being on the front lines. So being on the front line is not just, of course, it is this, but it's also a lot more than that.
Yeah, I mean, and we have a slide coming up that will show how it all fits together.
So many jobs are created, right? We have that?
Yeah, so Sankirtan, or book distribution, one can plug into book distribution in so many different ways. We have 40 plus job titles and then growing. And you can see how anybody who has any kind of talent, you are distributing books. Ordering, inventory, book room, mailing, accounts, website, newsletter, prasadam, packing, book stamping, smart boxes, internet outreach, transport, setup, tear down, graphic designer, henna maker, decorator, kirtan singer, mridanga player, communications, drama, event organizer, motel gita, and there's so many. The list is much longer.
We have a henna lady who, as soon as come March, she starts calling us. When are we doing our festivals? You know, it's amazing.
And when she's doing henna, she's talking to them about Krishna, and then she's inducing them to take a book, and finally they take a book. So she's distributing books. So book distribution is very broad. Prabhupada has this master plan where everybody can be engaged. And we don't have to feel that, I can't distribute books, therefore I'm not a book distributor. No, everybody in our movement is a book distributor, no matter who you are.
One time Guru Maharaj also said that how Jananivas Prabhu,
he's
always in the spirit of Sankirtan. So Sankirtan means a lot more. Of course, you know, being able to give someone a book by Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that what will your 2 minutes of preaching do? But they take a book, it stays with them. And I can speak for myself. When I was growing up, we used to have a hotel, like a lodging place. And the Sankirtan devotees used to come to our house, and I was just very young at the time. And they used to try and preach to my family. No one was interested. They used to say, come, we have a PowerPoint. And people were like, forget it. You know, we are busy. But one thing they did, which was really good, is that they gave my family a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so when I was growing up, I used to go and I used to see those books all stacked up, layered and layered with dust. Nobody, and I used to look at them as growing up, saying, wow, these books look so interesting, but they were in Hindi, I could not read them. And so years later, I think that just by seeing those Bhagavatams that were placed in the house by those Sankirtan devotees, I personally feel transformed my life. And now I go back and that family, I mean, many people in my family have also become devotees. So we cannot underestimate the power of placing these books and people's houses. It's a time bomb waiting to go off. If it's not this generation, it's the next generation.
And there are so many different ways to distribute books. So if you're not comfortable, say, approaching somebody face to face, you can distribute books in so many different ways. And this is just a sample of different ways, but there are so many more. And you can create and invent. Krishna will inspire you to find newer and newer different ways to distribute books. So our bottom line is, this is some of the pictures from some of our, we do a lot of festivals approaching people, and then we have booths for books and then prasadam and chanting and henna. So it's like a mini festival.
This is a great way to actually feel more comfortable with distributing books. If you're feeling a little nervous doing the cold call, festivals are great because you're sitting behind a table, you have this whole, you know, festival, and people just walk up to the table. It's a lot easier. So
the bottom line is book distribution and is easy and fun, and yes, you can. So we'll quickly watch a 10-minute video that Vaisheshika Prabhu created just for this. I'm really sorry we ran out of time a little bit, but we'll see that video, and we'll end it with here. At the breakout session, we'll have more.
If you have any questions, then we can address that, and definitely we can go over some of the rules of book distribution and how to do it.
Raghunandan Prabhu, how do I start that video?
During this year, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many devotees are going over and above their normal services to put on various presentations and develop various projects that glorify the founder Acharya of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the various projects that he envisioned. One of the projects that's been foundational to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the publication and distribution of transcendental knowledge, especially through books. Books in and of themselves are containers, that's what they are. And the books that we're distributing contain spiritual seeds, and they are idea seeds. In fact, ideas are what get implanted into people's hearts and minds, because the living entities in this world are called tatasta. And tatasta means open to suggestion. Yeah, there's all kinds of ideas floating around, and people are open to those. Books transform the world. It's all pervading. There's just this idea. Where did the ideas come from? It came from a book. Somebody thought about it, wrote it down, the book went around the world, the ideas spilled out, and because living entities are open to suggestion, they picked it up. We have a channel through which we can get these containers full of idea seeds, the best idea seeds, that completely reject all religious ideas that are materially motivated, and that propound the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. Could you give somebody some seeds that would uproot the threefold miseries? Here, have a handful of seeds. What will these seeds do? They'll uproot the threefold miseries in your life. Would you like them? Let me plant them right away. They may or may not know, but when the container goes in their hand, the container goes in their house, the container ends up somewhere in their life, the seeds will spill out, and those seeds will uproot the threefold miseries. That's what we're distributing. So we're part of a sampradayan. A sampradaya means a gift-giving line, a line that gives the greatest gifts. Sampradaya means to give, to bequeath, to pass on something that's very valuable. And that's what we're doing. We're giving. We're just little givers. And we go out to give the best seeds that will change people's hearts, their lives, will change society, will change the world. You pass this on to people, it will carry on through the generations. The more we distribute books, the more these seeds will spread out into society. And you'll see 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 2,000 years, 5,000 years from now, the fruits will appear all over the world. book distribution, it goes far and wide. They go across oceans. They go past boundaries. They go into the White House. They go into prisons. They go everywhere where you can't take a kirtan. Therefore, it's called the greater Madanga. It's louder. You write the kirtan down. It's codified. It comes in idea seeds in these containers. And when they go out, the message spreads and penetrates society and it changes the world. Therefore, he wrote all these books. He said, this is the perfect gift for the people of the world. There's no more perfect gift than that you can give people other than these containers that hold seeds that come from the spiritual world. And when they grow in people's lives, people have access to the spiritual world. All the money that started ISKCON and allowed it to grow to what it is today in such a short amount of time came from the distribution of books. So Prabhupada's idea was that our business in ISKCON would be books, reading books, distributing books, and by the sale of the books, we would be able to support all the projects around the world. There's mention throughout the scripture about good work that you can do in this world, but the best work that you can do is to give other people Krishna consciousness and also do things like build temples. There's nothing better than that. And when you're going out, every time you distribute a book, you're doing all of that, all at the same time. There's no better work on the planet. It's much better than working at Wendy's or Home Depot, Intel. Pick any of them. Reading these books will transform our lives. If we associate every day with these idea seeds, they will go into our minds, into our hearts, and we will become spiritually minded. Our hearts will be spiritually motivated just by taking in these spiritual seeds from the Goloka Vrindavan planet. They've descended from here. So we have to read and take it in. And we should also understand that the trouble we take to go out and distribute books is high sadhana. It's also high sadhana to go out to do Harinam Sankirtan. Anyone who takes up this order that Srila Prabhupada gave to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, particularly by printing and distributing books, will be intimately connected with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because when the Lord or His pure devotees give an instruction or make a request, those who come forward to fulfill that instruction or to help upon getting the request are then connected to the internal energy. Prabhupada said, kindly help me. I am printing books and I want to distribute them around the world to please my spiritual master. Kindly help me. Anyone who simply tries to help Srila Prabhupada distribute books all over the world will be successful. Not only that, we see that within ISKCON, we have small communities around the world that are basically independent under the umbrella of the ultimate managing authority of the GBC, but each has some autonomy. Those communities that are centered on teaching Krishna consciousness to others and that are dedicated to the process of book distribution, bringing books in, reading them, and taking them out to distribute to others, become particularly strong. The devotees have powerful realizations, and they also get special mercy from going out and giving Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Prabhupada made this statement to one of his managers of the book distribution effort and the publication effort, and that is that any advancement we've made in our Krishna conscious movement up to this point has come due to the distribution of these books. And therefore he asked him, do not deviate your mind even for a moment from this activity. Continue to think of it, continue to push for it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told everyone, gave this open order that everyone should become a spiritual master and try to spread the teachings of Krishna all over the world. Srila Prabhupada gave us an easy way to do that, and that is by printing books, distributing them to people all over the world, reading them ourselves, and learning to live by their tenets. So book distribution is the foundational aspect of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again. He called together his leaders in 1975 to Los Angeles, and he made a statement from the Vyasasan that you should print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world, and in that way the Krishna consciousness movement would automatically increase. So in this 50th year anniversary, we're particularly focused on book distribution as the foundational point for Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are many other projects in ISKCON, and they're all equally important. But anyone who knows Srila Prabhupada or has studied his life can see that he had a special fondness for books and literature, and that his transcendental plot, as he put it, was to distribute as many books as possible in as many languages around the world so that people could take advantage of this and become Krishna conscious and help others become Krishna conscious in perpetuity by passing on these books and making them available to people everywhere. So we encourage everyone on this 50th year anniversary to look into the prospect of book distribution. Everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement can participate. It doesn't mean that you have to become a full-time book distributor. But if you take time to read Prabhupada's books every day and then schedule at least once a month an opportunity to go out and meet people and show them these literatures, then you'll have a solid foundation on which to practice Krishna consciousness. These two activities, reading Prabhupada's books and distributing them to others, are particularly potent together.
So Vaisheshika Prabhu has written this book, Our Family Business, and we have limited copies of it. If anybody wants, maybe during the breakout session or after lunch, you can get them.
Prabhu ki
jai.
And their graces, Daksha Prabhu and Vrindavasutta Mataji ki
jai.
I don't know about you, all I can say after this session is wow. I feel like going out and distributing some books. So we're most grateful for your presentation.
Thank you.
They will be here for the breakout session, so if any of the devotees would like to discuss the book distribution and see how they can actually implement that in their lives as well as in their communities, you can do so at the book distribution breakout session at 3:45.
Where will that be?
At 3:45, we're going to reconvene right here in the temple room. And we just wanted to see by a show of hands, the breakout session is a session where you will actually reflect on the different seminars or one of the different seminars and see how that you can take what you've learned here back to your locale, apply it in your personal